Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Cat lovers, hello my feline friends, welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. So this is a great topic for all of us cat parents, cat aggression. It happens, even if you have the sweetest cat, it happens. You've probably dealt with it if you're a cat parent. And my guest today has a new approach to cat aggression. I cannot wait to introduce you to her. We will be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Dr. Lisa Radosta. She is a veterinary behaviorist. Welcome to Catitude.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad to have you. So I'll call you Dr. Lisa. You said that was okay, so I appreciate that. Let's first define, what is cat aggression? Because it can be misconstrued. And as I see it, there's cat aggression between other cats, between cats and humans, between cats and maybe other pets in the house or pets around them. So how do you define, as you're a professional, how do you define cat aggression?
Yeah, that is a great question, because where I sit as a veterinary behaviorist, so I'm a veterinary psychiatrist, and where, let's say, an applied animal behaviorist would sit, this is a person with a PhD, right? We're going to sit in the same place in that we're going to view aggression first as an ethological definition. So that's going to be, aggression is a distance increasing signal. Now, there's going to be those, we're getting a little sciencey, but we're going to move out of this in just a second, right? Because it's good to understand the science before you actually try to apply these things to your cat. So the exception is going to be predatory aggression, we call it, which is obviously not distance increasing. When your kitty catches a lizard, they're not trying to increase the distance, right? So that's a different kind of category in and of itself. But other than that, we think of it as distance increasing. Even that language can feel weird. What is it really? It is an ask for space, okay? So it could be an ask for the other cat in the household to move out, right? Cat number one, Fluffy, needs cat number two, Ted, to move out of the house. So Fluffy is aggressive to Ted. Maybe Fluffy wants space from her pet parents because her pet parents keep petting her when she really wants to sleep. So she's aggressive. So we're going to define it that way. But the way I want to look at it, and I've kind of shifted the way I speak to pet parents about it, because so many pet parents said to me, my cat gives me love bites. And for almost, well, I've been a veterinarian 25 years. I've been a vet behaviorist 19. So I keep saying, no, cats don't bite you when they love you. That is a crazy kind of love, right? No, that is not what they're doing. But I never really was able to explain it to pet parents in a way that I think they really understood it until I lived with a cat who bit me. And now I understand that aggression, in many cases, is a cry for help. And in many cases, is a form of communication, because the cat doesn't have any other way in that moment, in their mind, to get their needs fulfill. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. And I'm glad you said that, because I agree with you. I've heard people call it love bites or a little like smack or something. And I agree with you. I don't think there's such a thing as love bites. Not to go off on a tangent, but cats' mouths have a lot of bacteria. Even a love bite is not that safe, and neither are scratches. But coming back to what we're talking about, that's definitely, you know, yeah, they're sending a message. They don't talk. This is another reason why we need to never declaw our cats. That's how they tell you, leave me alone. You don't want to antagonize them enough to get the scratch or the bite, but that happens sometimes. They're not verbal. I mean, they meow for humans, but they're not going to tell you, leave me alone. You're annoying me right now. They're going to swipe.
Exactly. And there's, oh my gosh, there's so many things she said that I just love. So number one, the reason we don't want to declaw cats, yes, we don't want to take away their communication defense mechanism, but also, you know, it hurts. And cats who don't have their claws, and I'm just not sure anybody's doing this anymore. So I don't know if this is going to kind of fall on deaf ears because no one's doing these surgeries. I hope they're not, but
they're still doing it.
Oh, holy cow. Really?
There's a great,
Michelle,
mention this. There's a great movie called American Cat, The Good, The Bad, The Cuddly. Nala Cat is in it. She's helped sponsor it. She's a famous cat, but there's still so much going on and people don't realize that. I think I know what you're going to say. Declawing cats, not only is it very painful for them, but it actually makes them more aggressive and more likely to bite. And from what I know, biting is much more dangerous to us humans because there's so much bacteria in their teeth as compared to, you know, a scratch.
100%. So there are several studies that have looked at declawing. One study shows that the cats are not more likely to be aggressive. One study shows that they are. And there's a third study. And this is the study. It is not a retrospective, like asking the pet parent, is your pet declawed? Does your pet bite you? Those are good studies, but those aren't the highest level of studies. This last study is the one that probably is, you know, on the forefront of your mind, where radiographs were examined, looking first at cats that are declawed to say, how many of you have a fragment left? So imagine, first of all, that I'm going to take your toe off, because that's what we're doing. We're taking off the edge of your toe. And anyone who's ever, like, I broke my toe, you know how important those toes are. They are really important for balance and for movement. So a lot of those cats that should have had a clean cut to take off the edge of the toe did not, like a large over 50% did not. They had fragments left. Ouch, that hurts. And also, the cats who were declawed were more likely to be aggressive. But you know what? They were more likely to have back pain. They were more likely to pee and poop outside the box. So let's not do this. And it does apply to what we're talking about today, because we don't want to hurt cats. Because when beings, including human beings, are hurting, we're more irritable. Like, of course we are. And also, back to love bites, here's the thing. Whenever I wonder, is this normal? Like, is this what cats should be doing? Or dogs, or whatever animal I'm treating, I think, okay, what do feral cats do? What is the wild state? Feral cats don't love bite each other. Now, they do bite when copulating, okay, but that's not love, that's copulation. It has a purpose, and to make a bunch of kittens, right? So if we just look at how cats who are BFFs treat each other, they groom each other, they sleep in a pile of cats, it's completely different than a bite that they give us. And like you say, anybody is dangerous, but it can become even more dangerous if you ignore that bite because the cat doesn't have a way to talk to you. So they might bite harder or do something worse, like pee on your pillow, not because they hate you, but because they don't know what else to do and they're freaked out, right? But also, some pet parents return that quote unquote love bite, which I'm just going to call a light bite from here on out. They return that with a smack. And then the cat's like, oh, I see. I see what's happening. I try to talk to you and then you're mean. So obviously this relationship is not working. I can't trust you. Now I'm getting afraid of you. Now we're increasing aggression, right? So we got to pay attention to what the cats are telling us.
It seems obvious for body language to get an idea, you know, how the cat's feeling and different things, but are there keys to looking at the cat's body language other than the obvious and realizing, oh, you know, this is a sign of aggression, even if it's like a, maybe if it might be hidden?
Yeah. So you know as well as I do, but pet parents probably don't know that cat pet parents and dog pet parents too are not very good at reading body language, even experienced ones. And so we want pet parents to look for the obvious signals. So I'm going to separate aggression out again. We're putting predatory aggression way over here to the right. We're not talking about that, the bird hunting aggression. Okay. We're talking about aggression toward pets in the household, people, things like that. I'm going to separate them further into aggression that is intended to increase distance, that's asking for space, right? So we're going to look for body language signals like pupils being big, your cat's pupils, that's the black part of the eye, you know, those should be really small, like a slit or like an almond if they're in a bright room, like the kind of rooms we have in our homes typically. In a moderately bright room or a dark room, we're expecting those pupils to be wider. Okay, that's natural. That's normal response to light within the body. Now, what if your cat's pupils are round or not almond-shaped in a brightly colored room? Either your cat is blind, that might happen, the blind cat, but if your cat is sighted, what's happening is your cat's in fight, flight, freeze, or fidget. Your cat is really freaked out right now, and their big prefrontal cortex, the part that tells them to not bite you, is turning off, okay? Tail thumping, ears, my friend calls them the devil horns, not because cats are devils, but because I think it really helps people to understand when those ears partially turn back and they're pointed or when they're flat against the head. If you see your cat, so there's the obvious one. If you see your cat avert his gaze, he's getting worried. So you're looking at him. He turns his head just a little bit off to the left or right or down or up. He's like, you're freaking me out right now. You're intimidating me a little bit. I'm starting to get concerned. If you see your cat deliberately get up, shift his weight, and turn away from you, he's sending you a signal. I'd like you to not pet me anymore. I'd like you to give me a moment, right? So we certainly want people to pause, but the kind of bites that are communication bites are a little different. I'll give you an example from my own kitty. My kitty requires a lot of attention. He's a needy kitty, and he likes to hunt a lot. He likes to play a lot. He likes to be on his catio frequently. And I'm the person who pushes the button for the toys and opens the door because I have the thumbs. So when I'm typing on my computer, I'm working, he first tries to sit and stare at me. So he's asking me for something, but I'm too busy. So then he will put his paw on my hand gently. I have a cute picture of me typing with his little black paw on my hand. If I do not pay attention to that, he gently bites my hand. So this is not a distance increasing. This is I've tried to ask you three ways. Could you just hit the button on my toy? Because I am not able to do that myself. And so what I want people to do is when your cat is staring at you, do something. Think about the cat needs something. Because once you drive him to bite, because you're the one driving the bus here. Once you drive him to bite and you get up and press the toy, you have taught him that he really should go for the bite because that is what's most effective and cats are very intelligent. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. It reminds me of, I'm listening to you thinking, it's kind of like people, you know, you ask somebody, they don't do it. Then you yell at them, they don't do it. Then you go over and say, you shake them or you get their attention. Hey, I need you to do this. Probably this would happen more. I don't mean shake violently, but little shove. Hey, hello, wake up, do this. Right? If you had like a child or something, you might do something like that. Talk first, talk louder, then go over and say hello and get their attention. You know, we don't bite people, but what about cats and aggression when they live with each other?
Yeah. So again, we're going to think, okay, wait, what do feral cats do? Well, I mean, you know this, feral cats live in what we call matrilineal colonies. It's moms and aunts and sisters and daughters, and all the girls live together. It sounds like an awesome way to live, in my opinion. And the boys come in and out as they need to. They make some babies. They eat at the food bowl at the barn. Like, you know, it's that kind of thing. But usually, there's always an exception, but usually the boys are not hanging out with the girls. So not on a regular basis, unless there's babies to make, right? So anyways, if you introduce an adult cat into a feral colony, and that cat is rejected, we would say that is normal. And there's so much space outside. I'm not advocating for all the kitties to live outside. We're just talking about what kitties that live outside do. There's so much space that other cat can get away, right? And if you have a barn, like I had a horse, and we had barn cats, cats would come together. You could see they were all similar colors. They'd go, another colony would come. Okay, so what do you and I do? Let's just take me, for example, because I think there's people out there like me. I only adopt adult black cats for the obvious reason, because the most perfect cat who ever graced this earth was an adult black cat that I got from Animal Care and Control, and there will never be another one like him, but yet that's all we adopted, my family, ever since his passing. So,
love that you adopt black cats. My cats, one's tuxedo. My dogs that I adopted are always black. I didn't even know, but there's a stigma against adopting black cats. Especially black dogs, but black cats especially. So thank you for adopting black cats.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Black cats are the best. they actually, you know, there is a gene connected to, I'm going on a tangent, there's a gene associated with the black coat color, which also codes partially for a lovely personality. So black cats are the best. But anyway, so I continue to add black cats, right? And that's not how they would live in the wild. They'd never live with strangers. So aggression toward each other is normal. If your cats are aggressive when they first meet, there's a really good chance that in a year, about a 50% chance, that they're still going to be fighting. So what does that mean? We had better introduce cats the right way up front. Because first impressions mean something. There's a reason why when you first meet your new in-laws, you know, make sure you're not a hot mess and you're not smelly and you take a shower. Like, you want to look your best. First impressions mean something. So we want to introduce them, you know, in a way that is low stress for everyone. I think one of the big problems I see is people just put cats in homes and expect everybody to share. And it's just the most absolutely absurd idea I've ever heard. Because just to think about what that would feel like, plop me in a home with some other people. I have to share my plate with them. There's only one place for me to get a drink. We have to share the same cup. We have to sleep in the same bed because there's only one of those. I would really go crazy. That is an awful way for a person to live. And for kitties, it's the same. Every kitty needs a bowl. Every kitty needs a place to get water. Every kitty needs a litter box. And not necessarily on top of that other kitty's litter box or food or water. Everybody needs their own space. That's just a basic need in my mind. So if we do that, we'll reduce aggression tremendously.
That makes a lot of sense. Although two of my cats are sisters from different misters that still don't like each other. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Dr. Lisa Radoska. She is a veterinary behaviorist, and we're talking about cat aggression, which we all have cats if we're listening to Catitude or want to have cats. So this is a topic near and dear to our heart. Let's talk about what us humans could do better to not set off aggressive behavior with our cats, because there could be things we're doing that we don't realize we're doing that.
Yeah.
Kick off our cats. And, you know, we're past the love bites and everything, but what are some other things we do that cats just go, you know, you're in their mind, they're like, you know, you're pissing me off. Stop that.
Yeah. There's three things that I can think of that I really want pet parents to know. Number one, everyone needs space. And sometimes your cat doesn't want you to touch them. And that's okay. And I tell people, I ask my pet parents who bring their cats to me, do you believe that you have the right to say no if someone tries to touch you? And 100% of the time, 100% the person, male, woman, no matter who they are, they say, yes, I have the right to say no. And I say, doesn't your cat have the right? And they pause, because we don't think that little, cute, fuzzy creatures ever would not want us to pet them, right? But they have the right to say no. So number one, respect your cat's boundaries and look at the body language and make sure that, you know, your cat wants to be petted at that time. When you're in doubt, pull your hand away. If your cat wants it, they will come back and bunt your hand. Number two, watch out for arousal aggression, because sometimes our cats get so wild, oh my God, you're petting me everywhere and I'm losing control, that they will kind of lose it a little bit, right? So if you see your cats just quivering all over the place, not in a trembling, scared way, but in a wild way, the tail is straight up and it's twitching and their back is twitching, just take a pause. Take a step away, maybe toss a toy or turn on a motorized toy, step away from that. And then number three, noise phobia. We have evidence in an unpublished study that we did at my practice, and then one other study, that we probably have about 25% of cats who are noise phobic. I think it's probably more like 50%. If you turn on the smoothie machine and your cat hauls butt into your closet, if you vacuum, your cat, you know, runs into the closet, storms in your neighborhood, your cat's under your bed. We are looking at a noise phobic cat. And when you go under that bed to pull your cat out because you're loving, you're worried about your cat bites you, right? So that's a fearful or defensive type of aggression. Noise phobia is prominent. And I even had a cat who had feline idiopathic cystitis, or you might see it referred to as feline lower urinary tract disease, fluted, who was noise phobic. It was thunderstorm phobia, to be specific. And when we treated that, we were able to get ahead of the hematuria, the blood in the urine, that is a sign of fluted or FIC. So this is a big deal.
You know, I think the thing is, cats, they give you clues. You just have to really pay attention. And don't akin them to, which people do this all the time, they're different from each other. My cat crew, Charlotte, is very different from Molly, who's, and Dennis is entirely different from both of them. He's part Maine Coon. He's like, you know, a chill cat compared to the other two. I mean, they're so different. So I think you have to keep that in mind as well. Know your cats.
Yeah, know your cats. And what I hear, the tone that's running through your comments, I feel like, is also don't make assumptions. Like, don't assume that your cat is thinking this or that. You know, be curious. What is my cat thinking? Instead of, I'm sure I know what my cat is thinking. Step back. Take a picture or video of your cat. You've got a phone. And then look at that video and go, oh, I missed that part. I missed that thumping tail, didn't I? Like, what is my cat saying? Educate yourself. I have videos on my YouTube channel, which is just my name, Dr. Lisa Radasta. I recommend often the Battersea website. There are lots of ways to learn about cat body language. And you just, like you said, you've got to be watching. You've got to be curious. You have to not think you know. And then you'll really see what's going on.
Dr. Lisa, how do you go about changing your cat's behavior? Or is it not so much changing their behavior, but watching out for what their behavior is going to be and changing your behavior?
Yeah, so that's where you may need extra help. So if your cat has a pathologic problem, maybe that kitty is so scared that there's just no way they could fathom to not use aggression in certain situations, you might need a veterinary behaviorist. Your pet might need medicine or a supplement. I see a lot of sick cats. I mean, a lot of painful and sick cats. So whenever a cat comes to you with aggression, we work that kitty up, which may start with medication so the kitty can have a vet visit that isn't terrifying for them, right? So there's all of that, and that feels complicated and going to the vet isn't fun, but my gosh, we cannot miss a painful kitty and label it as a behavior problem. And so in one study, which you may know about, let's see, there were four studies done looking for arthritis in cats, four separate studies, total of 592 cats, if we include all four studies. In these studies, they took cats who just went to the vet hospital for something, but it wasn't for lameness. It wasn't for pain. And if I combine all those studies and just give you a range, they found that 23 to 95% of the cats had arthritis on the x-rays. Wow. 13% of the cat pet parents reported that their cat was lame. 95 versus 13. Are you kidding me? We are missing it. There's a website for a product. I'm not paid by this company, but this is really the best website for you to learn about your cat and pain. It's the Solensia website. It's a drug made by Zoetis. So I'm not necessarily advocating or not for the drug, but go to the website and you'll click on the little parts like, see if your cat is painful quiz. And then, oh, hi, buddy. And then you'll see a group of animated videos. And maybe there's 6 videos. And each one will be like healthy cat jumping, unhealthy, that's painful, cat jumping. When you see that as a pet parent, I think you're going to be shocked because so many of my pet parents go, oh my gosh, that is the way my cat jumps up. That is the way my cat goes up and down the stairs. So we are missing pain in cats. And I'll give you one more study because somehow we got on my big soapbox here, pain in cats, that there's a study that looked at our ability as veterinarians to find the signs of pain in cats. So we look for pain. We look for the feeling in our hand as we're over the joint of crepitus, crunchiness. And we look for the feeling of a joint being swollen. We call that a fusion. And we can get it right about a quarter of the time, about a quarter of the time. Because number one, vets have different skills in that area. But number two, when a cat growls at you or hisses at you in the vet's office, are they afraid? Are they hurting? We don't know. So if you as a pet parent look at those Silencia website videos and you believe your cat is painful, you are probably right. Take videos of your cat, bring the videos to the vet. If your vet dismisses you or poo-poos you, I would strongly advise that you have an honest conversation with that veterinarian. And if they still will not x-ray your cat, that you find a different veterinarian. Because we cannot tolerate kitties being painful and doing nothing about it.
Oh, absolutely. So what if you got your kitty taken care of, your cat's fine, they're not acting out for pain, you need a cat behaviorist. Where should we look? Because there's all types. There's people that are certified. There's people that are veterinary behaviorists like yourself. There's people that are, you know, just work a lot with cats and are not, you know, professionally certified, but they're good with cats. So where do you look and how do you find someone to help you with your cat if you can't do it?
Yeah. So a veterinary behaviorist is going to work with some sort of professional behavior consultant or cat training professional, most likely. Some may employ them in their practice, but most of us are going to refer. So that's a good way to get kind of a complete team. It's not one or the other. It's all of us on the same team along with the primary care veterinarian. So if your cat has a serious aggression problem, find a veterinary behaviorist. You can find one at dacbb.org, or you can go on my website and send me an email and I'll send you that website for you to find one near you. If you're looking for a cat behavior consultant, we're looking for someone who has some sort of certification. So we know that they have decided on their own, of their own accord, to get that extra bit of learning. And that we know that they are a part of a community where if your cat is a really hard problem, they can call on their community for advice. We all need community because we're all going to get stumped. We're looking for someone who is positive reinforcement dedicated. So no training is purely positive because even if you don't give your cat a treat, that could be viewed as negative, right, by the cat. But what we can say is we don't want any squirt bottles. We don't want any shock mats. We don't want any loud noises. We don't want things thrown at kitties. We don't want kitties smacked. We don't want water thrown on them. Kitties don't have to be tormented to learn how to do something. They're quite intelligent, honestly. So we're looking for that kind of person. And sometimes when you go on socials or you're on YouTube, you know, maybe people have a lot of followers and they look really shiny and impressive. And at the end of the day, it comes down to, are they skilled? And just because they're famous doesn't mean they're skilled. And will they?
True.
Yeah. And will they use positive reinforcement techniques with your kitty? And if they have to fall back on punishment techniques, that is a testament to their skill set. That's what that is. They're telling you, I don't have a complete skill set. So I resort to things that hurt kitties in order to try to teach them lessons. And we don't have to do that. We just don't.
No, actually, I don't think you have to do that to cats. I don't think some of us have, my dogs are in doggy heaven now, but you don't have to do that to, I think, any animal. I know that there's some that believe in it, but I'm not a big fan.
Right. I always say to my clients that want to do that, I'm like, what if your kitty was a killer whale? And you had to actually outthink them instead of being physically adversarial. You would find a way, but just because the cat's smaller than you, it's easy to pick up a squirt bottle or smack his booty. But if he could kill you, you wouldn't do that.
Right.
And so we're taking advantage inadvertently, because these are usually very loving pet parents. So inadvertently, we're being led down a road where we're taking advantage of someone smaller than us, and that is not our style. We're not bullies by nature. We're kind and we love our kitties, and it can be done a different way.
That's great advice. So where can people go to find out more information? I know you have a great website with a lot of great information for our listeners.
Thank you. Yeah. My website has some free resources and I'm always adding to it. And it's drlisaradasta.com. I'm on socials at Dr. Lisa Radasta. I don't do TikTok. Oh, goodness. But I do Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and LinkedIn. And I recently did, I would say, 3 or 4 posts from a couple weeks ago on kitty stuff. But there's tons of posts from all the years I've been on. And so, you know, hopefully we will get the word out there that people can help aggressive cats and live with them without being bitten.
I hope we do. And I'm fortunate that I have lots of listeners on Cattitude. And, you know, it's all about spreading the word, because there are so many myths out there. And, you know, cats are hard to read. And there's just, again, so many misconceptions. So is there anything you wanted to add?
Just enjoy your cat today. Learn something about your cat today.
That's a great motto. You should learn something about your cat every day. I think that's definitely possible. They're bewitching. There's so much to learn about them. Or mystical, that's a better word.
Yeah, both of those things. I think they're bewitching and mystical. I just think they're really interesting little creatures. They really are.
That they are, very much so. Dr. Lisa, thank you so much for coming on Cattitude. I so appreciate all of your information.
Thank you.
I hope you all enjoyed this show. Be sure to check out drlisaradasta.com. That is Dr. Lisa's website. She has so much great information for you. The site is mobile as well as, you know, for the desktop, like everything these days. Thanks to my listeners. Thank you so much for listening to Cattitude all these years. I so appreciate you, your support of my show. Thank you to my cat crew, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly. You guys keep me on your toes and keep me always learning about cats. And the more I learn, the more I can share with all of you listening, and the more we can educate people. So thank you so much. And a special thank you to my producer, Mark Winter, for working his magic on every show of Cattitude. Thank you, Mark. And hey, remember, lose the attitude, have Cattitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.